Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Jordi. Messi. Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi Uncle, Ricky Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's the campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Como yeah. Que ya son wins, the trio of five singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Yo, what is up, familia? What is up, my peeps? We are here live for another edition of Inter Miami Weekend Update here with our boy Matt from SoFlo Soccer. What is up, brother? How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm so excited to be back. I'm so happy and excited to talk about Inter Miami for another week. And yeah, man, I hope everything's good with you, but I'm ready, man. I'm so excited.
Sure, bro. Hey, had you seen the new intro yet or not?
I think that was the first time I've seen that because I watched it. I'm like, dude, that's kind of sick.
Yo,
that's awesome. Props to you guys for having that intro.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, something we had been working on for a while. I actually got in touch with an Argentine, a rapper in Argentina, and I was talking with him, told him kind of like we were looking for. I actually helped him out with some of the lyrics too. And bro, nice. I feel like it came out sick. Like I'm happy.
It
encompasses
so
both sides, the English speakers, the Spanish speakers, and a little bit of Miami flavor. So
1000%. No, it's sick. It's sick. I love it.
dope. So we're gonna wait for a few people to kind of roll in here. We got Black Story here. Black Story, what's up? Black Story's a guy that had been with us for a long time, bro. I haven't seen him in a while. We haven't done lives for a while, so we usually just been doing the recordings, but I actually jumped on yours the other day. You were doing one, I think, with who was it that you were doing?
It was with Solana, with the
Solana. I jumped on that for a while. That was actually a really good one. I appreciate that.
It was my first ever guest, and me and Solana were talking about doing something together for a while. I'm glad that we were able to do it before the Olympia game. And I saw your comment. I pulled it up. I don't know if you were there for that. And I want to give you a shout out, but Solana was in the middle of talking, and then by the time
it's cool.
I appreciate you for tuning in.
Of course, bro. I enjoyed it. It was really good. A lot of good talk, you guys. Solana, very knowledgeable, great guy. We had him on once, and then obviously this is going to be your second time with us, and the first time we had a ton of fun, bro. We were laughing, having a great time, so it was cool to bring you on. Lovely. Great vibes.
We're going to do the same thing again,
100%, bro, 100%. Guys, if you're wondering where Ashley is, unfortunately something came up. She wasn't able to make it today, but she'll definitely hopefully be on our next one. So, all right, let's go ahead and kind of get started. As you guys have seen, this is the third episode that we've done so far for the Inter Miami Weekend Update that we do on Fridays and Saturdays. Sometimes Fridays, sometimes Saturdays, depending on what the news looks like for the week. So we want to just continue to do this show and bring you guys all the breaking news and the hot topics. And then obviously tomorrow we got a game against Olympia, so this is a really good episode for you guys to see. You guys are probably listening to us. Just some housekeeping items. Sorry, Matt, just before we get into it. You guys are probably listening to us on the Fire Reasons main channel. Make sure you follow us on X at Messi & Co. And then we have also a new YouTube channel, which is pretty cool, called Five Reasons Football. You guys can follow us on YouTube, and we'll be posting a lot of stuff there. Some things will make it onto the main channel at the Five Reasons, and some will just be on the exclusively on the Five Reasons YouTube. So make sure you guys follow that. So let's go ahead and get into it. There's quite a few things for us to talk about. Number one, this was kind of interesting. Inter Miami's jersey actually made its way to Argentina. The Mas brothers headed over there, and they actually presented a jersey to, I believe it was Milei, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
Milei.
And actually, we had seen some, I think, some leaks of that jersey, if I'm not mistaken. And this is the first time we actually see it in person, like official team, owners, presidents holding it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. What do you think about that jersey? Do you like it in person? What do you think about it?
So, like, well, like you said, like, this is the first time we're actually seeing it and them confirming that this is actually what the jersey was going to look like. I thought it was going to look slightly different from the leaks, but yeah. No, apparently they got it spot on. I like it. I personally believe that it's missing some sort of detail. I've talked about this on my channel, but like, I'm like, it's missing, like, because, you know, in previous jerseys, we would have like maybe the palma, like something like hidden, or like the herons, around the shirt. I thought like that jersey was missing, that detail was missing from this jersey. But I rate it. I think it's a pretty nice jersey. I think compared to maybe previous ones, but I think this is pretty nice.
Well, I thought you'd like it because it's kind of mimicking the Argentina one, obviously,
right?
National team jersey. So from that angle, I see what they were doing there. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Definitely missing like that undertone that I agree with you 100%, where you kind of look at it and there's like a hidden detail or something like that. So
or like some, I don't know, like white, maybe like white accents along, maybe like pinstripes. I don't know. It's missing that detail. No, for sure. 1000%. But I like it.
That makes sense. I am happy. Obviously, they had changed it, but like that first one that we had with the stacked logo on top of the, like, everything stacked down the middle.
Yeah.
Awful. I'm happy.
I'm glad you didn't like that either. Like, I don't think anybody did. I feel like not a lot of people like that one.
It was definitely hated.
It was definitely hated in the community.
Yeah. So this was a good one. It was also cool to see. I guess, obviously Argentina, big Messi fans, obviously, but no need to say that. But the fact that the Inter Miami jersey made its way over there, I thought was cool. It just goes along with everything Inter Miami is trying to do to become a global club and going and traveling with this preseason America's tour and all that sort of thing. So I think it just goes in brand with everything that they're doing. But it speaks pretty big. I mean, these guys, the Mas brothers, the owners, big shots, went out of their way to make sure they got one to the president. I mean,
no, 1000. I mean, arguably probably the most important.
Yeah,
Argentinian figures besides, I guess, Messi and the Pope, right? And it's the president himself. It's the president of Argentina himself. What I did hear, I don't know what you heard, but what I heard about this whole, you know, get together with the Mas brothers and the president was them. They were looking at like some opportunities to maybe, I don't know, like some partnerships or something like that in terms of how like football could like connect between either them and their club. I don't know. That is what people are saying online. Yeah. They're like, oh, this could be like some sort of opportunity for the Mas brothers and maybe the Argentina or AFA or whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. People always say a million things.
That might make sense, though. Like what you're saying makes sense. And I'm interesting to hear that angle because I really hadn't heard why that happened or anything like that. Couldn't really find much. But
it was out of nowhere.
But I mean, with the World Cup coming up here in the U.S. and with Mundial de Clubes and Argentine clubs being there, it definitely makes sense. Maybe at the at Freedom Park, maybe there's going to be an Argentine installation or something having to do with Argentina.
1000%. Because they also do that stuff with FIU and stuff. I don't know if you heard about that as well. Like FIU have their own AFA program. So there's a bunch of Argentinian connections with down here. So 1000%, I could see that happening.
Yeah, that's interesting. And we'll see if any news comes up after that and kind of speaks more to that. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about. Obviously, there was a game we had kind of talked about it in our previous Messi and Co. episode, but now that we have the game against San Miguelito, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that and kind of get your thoughts on maybe some of the things that you saw coming out of that game. And let me just bring up our next thing here. So obviously, we stay unbeaten in preseason. I know that preseason usually maybe it's not really about results, but more about like, you know, players getting minutes and seeing how the team develops, what players can play together, what players look to be fit. And obviously Mascherano coming in is trying to figure this club out, trying to figure out what players are going to be his starting 11, where he's going to put them positionally. We've seen some players getting a few minutes and maybe some that we expected to get more minutes. Like Gressel is a guy that got a lot of minutes under Tata Martino. He's a guy that's not getting many minutes right now with Mascherano. So I thought that that was interesting. But I don't know. What are your thoughts about this game? And then I'll kind of share mine. Interested to hear what you think.
I mean, yeah, no. I mean, there's probably a lot we could take out of this game. Honestly, I thought we would be, at least in the first half, I thought we would be a little more dominant. In terms of, because of the actual players that played, like I know Redondo didn't play. We got to see Bright get some minutes. We saw, like you said, we did see Gressel get minutes, but he played at the right back position.
Yeah.
In the second half, which is something that I've always said, talked about last year. We saw Tadeo Allende for another game, which was great to see. He had a pretty shaky first half, but then we moved him to the left in the second. He played a lot better. He ended up scoring. So that's great for his confidence. We saw players like Pico again off the bench who looked really good. So honestly, there was a lot of positive things that we could take out of this game, even though it was against a side like San Miguelito from Panama. There's a lot of things that we could take from this game and from literally all areas of the pitch. I think we did pretty well. And like, it's good progress.
You mentioned Tadeo Allende. I like that run that he made. And I thought that was interesting because I feel like he's been struggling a little bit to kind of get acclimated to this team, which I think is normal for any player that is coming into a new squad and hasn't really found his footing yet. And I feel like his passes were maybe off and that sort of thing. I saw him a little better this game, still not exactly where I think he wants to be or where we want him to be. But I really like that run where he scored. He made that run right in behind that back line. I think it was a through ball. Can't remember who put that through ball right now, but somebody put a really nice pass in him and he scored. So I thought that that was really good. I don't think you see too much of that from Inter Miami, those kind of like, I don't know if Suarez really does that too often where he'll make that run in behind. Maybe it's because of his legs really don't allow him to do that sort of thing. Yeah. But it's good to kind of have that with Tadeo Allende. Back to what I said previously with Gressel not getting too many minutes. He got a few minutes here. So he's definitely a guy that I'm already kind of like crossing off, saying like he's not going to be a guy that's going to be a starter like he was with Adam Martino, I think. Redondo, for me, is a big question mark as well. Like Redondo, at times we were like, oh, wow, Redondo. But as of late, I feel like Redondo is little by little losing his starting spot. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking more about like Bright. I don't know. How do you feel like Bright versus Redondo? Because obviously it's two different kind of players. But at the same time, like I feel like what you want Redondo for, which I believe is more in the attack and the distribution, he's maybe not giving you that much, where it's worth maybe going more with a Yannick Bright who can play. I'm not saying he can't, but man, like you feel secure defensively in that midfield when he's on there. How do you feel about those two?
Yes, sir. I could go on for an hour. I could have a whole episode about this on its own. But no, Redondo, I thought, and look, I love Redondo. Like I know, and I've said this, on my channel as well. Redondo's potential is through the roof. And I think personally that he could be one of the better, if not best players in the MLS, but he is not. So I'm holding his standard up here. He's not been performing to this standard. He's been looking lost in that midfield, and Bright on the other hand has been like he owns it. That is his position, and I love it because when he first broke onto the team, we didn't know what to expect from this guy, and we loved him immediately, and he earned that starting spot. With Mascherano, it was safe to say that Redondo was going to be given a shot because he's Argentinian. His dad, the connections with the national team.
Yeah.
He was going to be given that opportunity in the beginning, but he just looked lost in the midfield. He looked absolutely lost, and I don't know what it is. And until he figures that out, you got to hit the bench, my bro. You got to hit the bench and let Bright do his thing in the midfield. I love Bright in the midfield. He has my backing all day long.
Yeah, I mean, if he has to hit the bench, he'll do it. And sometimes that's kind of like a wake up for players. Oh, I feel like as soon as you hit that bench, there's some players that feel like they have the spot just guaranteed for them. And if they feel guaranteed because of his name, obviously Redondo, maybe that's something that's also weighing on him as well. Or it could be the opposite, that it's just overconfidence of saying, I'm freaking Redondo, bro. My dad, I have a starting spot here. This is Mascherano, que he knows how I play, obviously, because he knows some of the young guys on this team. He probably knows how I play. I have it guaranteed. Nah, brother, you need a dose of reality. You're going to go to the bench. work your ass off on the practice field and earn that spot back. I'm not saying he can't. I really think if he really tries hard, he can earn that spot back. But for me, gotta agree with Bright. Now, for me, also another thing that I've seen and I kind of wanted to talk to you about is when we saw Messi under Tata Martino, Tata Martino made it a thing to say to the media and to others that asked about how he wanted Messi to play, that he wanted Messi to be as high up as he can be on the pitch. Mm-hmm. He didn't want him to have to worry so much about bringing the ball up and just focus on scoring and scoring, right? So a lot of times, like, obviously on defense, Messi's always going to be up top. But on offense, under Tata Martino, he was always up there with Suarez. Now, under Mascherano, I don't know if you've noticed, Messi is playing a bit more back, and he's kind of making sure that the ball is always in his possession. And then you have guys like Fafa, Suarez, or Tadeo actually playing in front of him. It's almost like a front, sometimes a front three with Messi in behind and Messi being the main playmaker. Have you seen that too, or am I
1,000%? No, you've nailed that so good. Yeah. Like, that is so accurate. Like, and I'm glad that you made that Tata reference, because I personally never liked Messi when he played like that with Tata, because it just didn't allow anybody to make overlaps around him, because he would cut inside and then nobody would be there, or maybe Gress would be there, or like maybe Chelo would be there, but like it wasn't enough. But now him playing an actual 10 role is going to be like, imagine he was the MVP last year. Imagine what he's going to do this year. Now that he's playing in his proper role, and now he has players like Suarez, he has players like Tadeo Ashende, he's going to have a Fafa, he's going to have a Taylor or whoever, Gressel, whoever's going to be up there, he's going to have it. He's going to have options ahead of him, and it's going to be creating so many opportunities. I love that Mascherano knows Messi like the back of his hand. They've been playing years together. So Mascherano knows how Messi plays. And the fact that he made this tactical change, I think, is going to significantly improve our gameplay for the entirety of 2025. 1,000.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's going to be a different team when you have, and it's just funny with Messi's career, he's always kind of transitioned into different roles. I remember him starting as a right winger, then in the early days with Ronaldinho on the left wing, and either Eto'o in the middle or Henry, that sort of thing. And then he moved to he's played a false nine, played a 10, he's played everything, and it's just part of the evolution of his career. And I think that he can excel in any spot, I think.
Of course.
But I really like him in this kind of new look with Mascherano. Okay, with that, something really interesting, which is kind of crazy, happened in the game. That was, I really honestly couldn't believe it. Kundemi, Aymar Kundemi, he's 19 years old kid, just debuted for San Miguelito. I mean, you would have thought he's playing the World Cup or something. Like, he was playing hard. I mean, he goes in and he has this really hard foul on Messi that I think many of us were like holding our breath. Messi was just had his back against their side of the goal. I think he was he at half field or even our own half, maybe. I can't remember.
I believe it was in our own half.
And then, and then all of a sudden, Aymar comes running in full speed and just slide tackles him from behind. Yeah. And I felt like time went by like super slow for me. Like, you know, when you're in like an emergency or like a car crash or something, I'm like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden Messi springs up. I've never seen Messi get up so quick in my life. I'm like, that was crazy. Hey, Bo. What's up with Aymar Kundemi, bro?
I have no idea what this guy's problem was. I mean, he probably was so frustrated because Messi was destroying those guys, right? Like, you saw the clips even during the game, but the clips afterwards made it like a million times worse. He was just dribbling through them like it was nobody's business. But literally when that tackle happened, like at the halfway line, like I yelled so loud in my house, like I was on my couch with my dad and I was like, no. And my hands went like this, literally. And I'm like, I could not believe what I just saw from my 19-year-old Panamanian. He's a U20. He's a U20 international player.
Yeah, he's a national player. Yeah.
And so it's like you would expect more professionalism, more just level-headedness from that kind of person more maturity, but this is just the complete opposite. And Messi just standing there, like he's just standing there like a G. Like he's like, yeah, I take that. That was that's late.
Like that's the most passive. I was really, really like surprised of how passive Messi was in both instances. Yeah. Like 1,000%. This one. And the one where he came back for him and ended up getting the red card, I was like, well, Messi's crazy passive. Like usually, maybe it was because he knew he was so young. Maybe I don't know. But I thought that was really like really
Messi interesting. Didn't want to go down to his level. He's like, yo, you got to come up to my level. I'm not coming down to your level. He didn't care. He just didn't care. Messi was like, no, this doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of, obviously you could tell just the difference in just age and maturity. Like Messi's just that much better mentally, of course, and technically than this Panamanian international. What is it? Kundomi.
Aymar Kundemi. Yeah. Yeah. For me, like in the moment, I was obviously like, what the heck is wrong with this kid? Then as I did, like looked more into the kid and, and all that stuff, like. Here's actually the second one where he pressures him again, and this is where you see them fighting, and it got pretty rowdy. But like I was looking into the kid, and I actually ended up feeling sorry for him at a certain point. I'm not gonna lie, because the kid was genuinely sorry. I think what it is you're 19 years old, you're making your debut for this team. I'm not sure if it was like this was his actual debut game, but I know that he made it his like professional debut for this team. Uh-huh. 19 years old, you're playing against Messi.
Yeah,
the nerves that you must have, like, and the excitement, and you want to prove yourself and all that. I just think it got to his head, honestly. I don't know enough to say that this kid is dirty, but I know that it got to him. And one of the things that was interesting, we can probably look at it right here. I'm gonna show you this really quick here.
All right.
He actually ended up posting
The apology tweet. It was like apology something. I glimpsed at it. I didn't read it fully, but I wanted
to know what you tweet, but it. Here's actually what he said.
Me siento como culpable, pues lo que hice con Messi, me disculpo con el pueblo panameño, de verdad. Y no pasará de nuevo con la gente en los comentarios, me comentan cosas que, o sea, que ni me esperaba, pues. Y bueno, aquí estoy para echar para adelante y bueno, a cumplirle el sueño de mi mamá y mi papá que están en los cielos. Y es lo que.
So basically he is sorry. Like he's sorry. He's getting a lot of heat from Panamanian fans. He was getting booed and scrammed at the actual pitch, like on the field by Panamanian fans.
I can imagine.
And genuinely, he's sorry. He knows he messed up. He actually said, I thought this was interesting, after the second one where he did get the red card, he says that Suarez went up to him and grabbed him and told him, go say sorry to Messi. Go say sorry to Messi multiple times. So he actually turns around. He walks up to Messi. He says sorry to Messi. And he says that Messi, I wrote it down here because I didn't want to forget. He said that Messi looked at him and literally told him, I'll tell you right now, he said, no te acepto las disculpas. And they asked him, like, he literally said that. He goes, yeah, me dijo, no acepto tus disculpas. So Messi was not having any of it.
Wasn't having any of it.
No, not at all. So Messi was pissed. So I thought that was interesting. But at the end of the day, for me, again, it was just a young kid. And hopefully he learned his lesson. It looks like he did. Public apology, in person, really so on too. Twitter. So, but
because look, in my opinion, I'm not bashing the kid, right?
Yeah,
but that's just not a soccer/football tackle, and it's 100%. Like that's a career ending tackle. That 100%. And if that connected poorly, like if that was bad, like if a cleat was in the wrong spot, that's a broken leg right there. So I understand why Messi said he didn't accept his apology, but
we're just lucky that Messi's good and he's healthy good. Because as you said, that could have been a career ender right there. That was really really bad. But all right, so with that Inter Miami, you know, that's in the past. Messi's healthy. That's what's important.
Yep.
Messi's training. We saw him training. Alba's not around, so there is kind of a bit of a concern there as far as if Alba's going to be available for the game. against Olimpia. He did have a knock against with Samuelito. I don't know. I don't remember where. I can't kind of picture where that happened. But at the end of the day, this is still the preseason. So for me, if he's not available or 100% for Olimpia, there's literally no reason to play him. You can go ahead and just kind of try other players out in that position and see what works. Obviously, you have Noah Allen, who has been playing as a center back. He can play maybe on the left. He started out as a left back, so we'll have to see. But I don't know, how concerned are you about Alba not playing? Do you think that he should play if he's even 80, 90%? What are your thoughts on this?
So, I mean, no. If he's injured, I think he took the knock in the previous game. What was it, against America? Because I remember he had like an ice thing on his leg. Like and then I guess it just made it in the San Miguelito game. It just made it worse. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, I personally don't think this is an issue. If anything, this is a positive thing because we need to Alba needs to rest. I mean, like he plays every single minute in every single game, and this will give us an amazing opportunity to see Noah Allen play at the starting position as a left back this time, because he's been showing really, really good signs, honestly just impressing immensely in that center back position, in my opinion. And then maybe we can see somebody else in that center back role, whether it could be Ian Frey, whether it's a Ryan Saylor given another shot. But I think obviously somebody being injured is not a positive thing, but I think it'll be good for Jordi Alba to get some rest, maybe just save his legs, maybe against Orlando. He's not going to be available for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So, I mean, like, we need to see how this team plays without Jordi Alba at that left back spot. You know what I'm saying? So that's just kind of my view on it.
Yeah, I agree. Right now, there's really no need for anybody to be training if they're not fully healthy. And 100%. And the preseason, as you said, is really the time for people to get minutes that maybe aren't going to get many minutes. Ryan Saylor or who knows, somebody else gets, I think David Martinez is there, and then maybe you can move Noah Allen to the left, or Ian Frey needs minutes as well. So we'll have to see what that looks like. But as we're talking about, I guess, some of these guys that are maybe a need for minutes, we do have a couple of guys here that did just get their visas, and actually Allende just got it, Luhan got it, and one that is not there is actually Segovia. Tadeo Segovia actually just got his as well. So it's Segovia, Allende had already gotten it, and Luhan and Segovia just got theirs. So for me, I guess it'll be interesting to see if they're going to be able to play against Olimpia, because you know, obviously today in the morning was actually their first training for with the teammates on Inter Miami. They actually made their way to the pitch today, but they have been training on their own.
Of course,
I know that they were asking Luhan about his training, and he had said that he had been training for about a month and a half. So I would really like to see these guys in there. I have questions. I have hypotheses, theories about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
One being Luhan. I mean, is really Luhan, maybe, is he going to be a bench player? Is he going to be our starting center back, you know, over – well, obviously it wouldn't be – it would be against – who do you think?
For center back?
Yeah, it'd be Aviles.
It would be Aviles or Martinez. Well, Martinez, I think, is injured now, but it would be – he would want to compete with one of those two. Allen doesn't take that spot.
Yeah. Well, I think Aviles is right now the front runner. I think maybe Luhan could give him a run for his money. So I'm kind of interested to see what Luhan looks like in that center back pairing. And then as far as
– who? He can play.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, right back as well. So, like, he could be Jello's either competition or be a backup.
Well, what do you think? Do you think, like, if you were going to start Luhan, right? Let's say you were going to start Luhan, or would you start him at center back or right back? And when I'm asking you this question, what I'm really saying is Aviles or ¿cómo se llama este?
Martinez.
No, a right back.
A right back, Chelo.
Chelo, sorry. Is Aviles or Chelo worth putting in Luján over? I guess that's the bigger question. What do you think?
So when, and I've said this before, I've said this on my channel as well. When people say I'm a huge Chelo hater, but honestly, I just want to see healthy competition in that right back spot. Chelo is probably our only right back unless Gressel takes that spot as well. But I want to see. Say again. Well, I feel like we've only seen Ian Frey so far play as center back. So maybe it depending on what Mascherano wants to do. If Mascherano wants to play Ian Frey at the center back spot, then let him play at the center back spot because we have a lot of good center backs.
Are you sure? I feel like I've seen Ian Frey as the right back.
I guess it depends on how he shifted. In the last game, he played center back. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Gressel played right back. And they all kind of shifted to the left when they took Alba out and whatever. So it honestly kind of depends. I want to see, dude, it's so hard because we have so much depth, which is but something is that good. We're just not used to. No, yes, this is a great problem to have.
You remember what one of the biggest problems was when we were in the Champions Cup last year? When you looked at that bench, it was like, how are we supposed to compete against these teams that are spending 20 million, these Mexican teams are spending 20, 25, 30 million dollars on players. And then you look at our bench and it was like, if one guy gets injured, we're screwed. Like, this is a good thing for us to have.
This is the best problem that any team can have, is having too much depth and having quality depth too. I mean, like, it's so hard because if Chelo keeps making mid or average performances, below average performances, do you want to play Luján? I would say, yeah. I would say, let's play Luján there. Because even you said, Gressel is kind of a no-go. Gressel is kind of a no-go. Maybe you could play Ian Frey at the center-back position with El Toto, with Jordi on the other hand, or even Falcón. It's like the options are endless. It just kind of all depends on who can play what position the best. Because if Falcón comes in running, like
he's a starter.
He's
a starter from day one. So it's Falcón and Luján, Falcón and Aviles, Falcón, like it's Falcón. Like he's a starter and he's going to be, I think on this team, he's our fourth best player after, fifth.
Luján?
Maxi Falcón after Messi, Suárez, he's our fifth best player. Like I don't know if people realize how good Falcón is. Colo-Colo was pissed when he left. They were depending on him. They were pissed. So he's our top player. I think for me, when I look at the right back position, what's most important is adding somebody that can help on the offense. Because obviously you have Jordi on the left that makes all the runs down the left. He connects perfectly with Messi. Like we've seen that. They do that with their eyes closed. Yeah. When you look at that right position, I feel like there are times when we're playing out of the back and I'll literally see Aviles or somebody look. They'll literally make eye contact with Chelo. Chelo opens his arms like, they're like, nah. And I've seen that. They literally won't give them the ball.
But I'm glad that you pointed that out.
No. It's true. Like, I want somebody. Okay, this time we actually had some action this last game against San Miguelito. We had some action from Chelo. But Chelo needs to step it up on the offensive end. If not, we need somebody that can. Ian Frey, for me, is a guy that you can put at right back. Of course, he's a scorer. We've seen him already do it.
He scored
for us right before he got injured, unfortunately, last season. That's what I'm looking for when I look at the right back position.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong at all. You're not wrong at all. I was just curious, because in the last game, like I said, maybe Mascherano wanted to test Ian Frey at that center back spot, see how he would play. But no, Chelo. I've always said Chelo needs to step it up. He's been doing, especially even in the preseason now, like he's been giving very average, very below average performances. He got the one assist against San Miguelito. And everybody was like, oh, Chelo's good, Chelo's good. And I'm like, dude, come on, man.
All it takes is one play and everybody forgets.
Everybody forgets an entire year.
Kremaski. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Kremaski was like, when he first made his way onto the team because of injuries, it was great. Okay. But he's been lackluster. And I'm a big Kremaski fan, but he's been lackluster, I think. But he scores one goal And then it was, oh, Kremaski, like, uh-huh. like, it, the, you know, you can score a goal, but that doesn't change anything. Like, even the worst player on the team can score a goal. So I'm not saying Crema is the worst player. I'm just making an observation here. But and Ashley's going to listen to this episode tomorrow. She's a huge Benja fan. She actually asked him a question about the U.S. men's national team. So she's for sure going to text me and tell me how much she agrees with me. But Benja, for me, is not a starter, but it's okay. You know why? Because he's young. And the only reason he's had this amount of minutes is because of injuries. Usually players this young in their career, and they're so freaking Lamine Yamal, like, they're not going to get these types of minutes. So it's okay. Like, you don't have to rush him. Sometimes you get these young players and put a lot of pressure on him. He's playing with Messi, and you're going to, you know, take it easy. He's got a bright future for him. He just needs to continue to develop. He's learning from the best, and I expect great things from him. But right now, he's not a starter on this team, and I think probably most would agree with that.
That's a fair opinion. And I mean, and it goes the same thing with Ruiz, right? I mean, like, now that we're going to be playing in Honduras tomorrow, it's going to be like a kind of a homecoming for him, which is very exciting. But like, I guess in theory, when you look at the team and you look at the depth chart, Ruiz and Benja, they're not really up there in the depth chart. They're not really up there as starters, unless they prove us wrong. But but they have extremely, extremely high potential for the future to take it over. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, 100% agree. And talking about the future, I guess I want to talk about a guy that has been linked with Inter Miami. I feel like everybody's linked with Inter Miami these days. Like, I've seen some of the craziest things. Oh, which, really quick, before we go to this guy that I was going to mention right now, bro, Neymar. I watched the game for Neymar.
Oh, okay, his debut
for Santos. Hey, bro, if you were worried about him coming to Inter Miami because he's washed or whatever the hell, bro, shut up. Like, shut up. He is nasty. He has not lost, bro. He is disgusting. Like, I don't know. Did you watch anything? Did you watch any of the highlights? Like,
so I did watch the highlights. And I mean, I did watch the highlights. Highlights make anybody look good, but I did go back and actually watch the game. Or at least bits and pieces of the game. And it's like, and then I'm thinking to myself, because I was worried. I was so worried because the Angelal coach, I forget his name off the top of my head. He was like, yeah, like, he can't play. Like, he doesn't meet the expectations or whatever. Like, he just said he can't play, that he's ass, that he's washed. Yeah. And then he comes over here and plays for Santos, and he's balling like he's in his prime. Like, he's 28 years old, and like 27 years old. I'm like, what is this? That caught me so off guard. I'm like, what? This is nothing to what the Al-Hilal head coach had to say. I'm pretty sure he's Argentinian too. I don't know. Forget.
Yeah, no, he is nasty. And look, here's the thing. He only signed a 6-month contract with Santos. He signed a short term. Some people are saying it's because he wants to go back to Europe. I think it's because he wants to play with Inter Miami. Okay. And it just so happens that in, I believe it's July, like, the second transfer window opens. And I heard this, but maybe you can confirm, not sure if you've heard, is there a small transfer window that MLS is opening up for players to be signed for the Mundial de Clubes? I heard that, but I don't know.
I heard like a 10-day gap or something.
Yeah, is that true though?
I think so. I don't know. That's why I haven't confirmed.
I researched it and I could not find that anywhere. So, but I'm still trying to figure it out. So
Solana told me there was a 10-day gap.
That's probably where I heard it. I forget things, and that's probably where I heard it. So
that's what he told me, and so I believe I'll take his word. I believe.
Yeah, I believe Solana said it.
I would say so.
I was just trying to check to see if I can get more details on how it worked, but I couldn't find it. But I'll take his word for it. If there's that 10-day window, boom, perfect for him to come in through. If not, he can come in July. But anyways, I don't want to. I can do a whole episode on Neymar, But what I was trying to get at is there was some rumors that came up about another young guy coming to Inter Miami. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. And that is going to be Allen Obando. Allen Obando. He is from, he's 17 years old. He's a center forward that plays for Ecuador's Barcelona de Guayaquil. I am from Liga de Quito. I hate Barcelona de Guayaquil. But if... But whatever makes this team better here at Inter Miami, I'm all for. He made his debut for the first team in 2022 at 16 years of age. He also plays for the national team. I think it's the U17. He played at the U17 World Cup, the pre-Olympic tournament for Conmebol. So he's actually a pretty good kid. He's got a bright future. I'm gonna put some highlights of him just so as we talk about him, just so we can kind of see. But I really like his player profile. I think it's really interesting. Let me bring him up right now.
Actually, I looked it up just now. Apparently, he made his debut for the first team in March 22nd, 2024. Apparently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, so he's pretty good. So his player profile is pretty much he's physical. He's big. He's good at making space. So like he uses his big body to kind of hold the defenders back. Kind of like what we saw a little bit of Campana or Suarez can sometimes do. He's like a pure center forward, and he's got a really good shot on goal. So I think that that's somebody that can probably help Inter Miami if they decide to bring him in. It's interesting because he's $3 million, I think, is a lot for MLS. And then depending on, you know, all the other things, I don't even know if they could fit him in, but into the team under the current roster setup. But also, I mean, he's got interest from Atletico Madrid. So that must say something as well. These are guys that have Griezmann on their team, that have Julian Alvarez. Sorry. Yeah. So they're guys that really know what players to pick. So
yeah,
if Ale Novando's in their eyes, it must be good. But I guess what I want to get from you is like, what do you think about maybe another center forward on this team? Does Inter Miami need another center forward? They've got, you know, a few guys. Suarez is obviously the main starter, and you talk about maybe Tadeo Allende is a guy that could maybe slot in there. You got Fafa up front. Like, what do you think about bringing in a guy that maybe has another profile like Suarez, like Campana, but really young, 17 years old?
And I guess like that's kind of the main factor, right? Like, because when you look at somebody 17 years old, he's going to probably turn 18 this year. And it's like, we need to be very careful with this guy, because if he can learn, we can't get him on a loan. If we're going to bring him in, we have to permanently bring him in. And he has to learn from the likes of Suarez and even Fafa, because he could be our starter in a couple of years. If right now at this moment in time, like, is he really going to get minutes? That's probably the issue. We probably would need another center forward at this club, but they're not going to compete with Suarez unless he goes down, right? And even then, like you said, we have Fafa, and maybe even Tadeo could play on that spot. It's just bringing in an 18-year-old is not, it's not like a bad idea at all. But I'm saying at right now, like if you want to throw him into the second team and maybe get him some minutes there, sure, go for it. But if he does come in now, he's probably not going to compete. Like, he's probably not going to get any sort of minutes, unfortunately. But this is definitely somebody to probably look out for the future. Yeah, I mean, like, he does look pretty big, like you said, like in the highlights. Like, he looks huge.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's very tall. He's a big guy. He's basically like a holding forward. He'll be the guy But it's a lot of money, $3 million for a guy that maybe doesn't get a lot of minutes. And then you mentioned maybe putting him in the second team. For that amount of money, I don't know. And you talk about guys that they've brought in, like, I think this kid is still there. Isn't there like Armani or something? That defender that they brought in, is he still a thing? Remember, they brought him from Boca, I think, wasn't it? And then they put him on the IMCF too.
I forget off the top of my head. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. But it was also a young kid, and they put him straight over there. And, you know, I know that Inter Miami is definitely investing into the future, but are they willing to invest that much for a guy that's not going to?
I mean, it'd be a pretty huge risk, because then, like, they would have to, because then they would want to have to sell him for a lot more than $3 million. They would want to get like 5, 6, or 7.
Yeah, you gotta be pretty. I mean, who knows? Maybe they buy him and then they end up selling him to Atletico that has interest right now. So, but yeah, okay, cool. That was one more guy out of the many that are tied to Inter Miami. Every day there's a new one. So I thought I'd bring that up. Ecuadorian, we just got rid of our last Ecuadorian. We need an Ecuadorian, I think.
We need more diversity. We need more diversity.
We had two Ecuadorians.
Anyone who's Argentinian, there's too many Argentinians here.
We had two Ecuadorians and we got rid of them both. So we need to fill our quota of Ecuadorians on the team. So he might be a good one. But okay. And then with that, obviously, we have our game tomorrow against Olimpia. Finally closes out our America's tour. Obviously, there's still one more game left in the preseason that is going to be against Orlando in Tampa. But I believe this officially is going to close out the America's tour that so far, I think, has been a success. When I say a success is because nobody seems to have gotten any severe injuries. We still have, you know, obviously, knock on wood. Yep. Obviously, Alba has a bit of a knock, but nothing too serious. So I think that from that part, it's been successful. We've gotten a few nuggets along the way of how Mascherano wants to use this team. We've gotten to see guys and really get minutes, some not get minutes. And that really also shows us who are going to be the main guys that Mascherano is going to focus on. And then hopefully for me, when I look at this game against Olimpia, this is a really good team. I believe. I think they're good in a good team in Honduras. But I really want to see our guys like Telasco, Segovia, is he going to get any minutes? Is Luján going to get any minutes? That for me was probably the primordial thing, the most important thing going into tomorrow's game. And then obviously coming out healthy. But I don't know. What do you think about tomorrow's game? What are you looking forward to?
I think it's a lot to look forward to. I think before today, I feel like there wasn't maybe a lot, but now that we have these visas getting confirmed in, I think we have quite a bit to look forward to for this next game. Olimpia is, I mean, you can argue that the best team in Honduras, and even though they're currently they just started their season, don't know if they're going to be playing all of their starters. So at least probably not for the whole game, right? They'll probably play for a half and then they'll all get subbed out. But I'm very, very, very excited to see players like Telasco Segovia and Luján get minutes. I really, really, really want to see them in action. And I think we really need them to see how they play, because these guys are going to eventually, at least for Telasco, these guys are going to be our starters. And I want to see how well they can click with this team in just one training session and one game. I really want to see what we can get out of them. I think it's going to be very, very interesting. I'm also curious as to how Mascherano is going to be kind of sticking like the game plan that he's going to go with. I mean, now that Jordi Alba's gone, like we talked about Noah Allen on the left back, who's going to be the center back partnership, who's going to be playing right back, is it going to be Luján, is it going to be Chelo, is it going to be someone else, Gressel, and, you know, are we going to see Benja play on the left mid again? Are we going to, you know, are Estadio going to stay on the, go on the left, be on the right? It's just, there's just so many possibilities. And I think no matter what, there's something to look forward to from this team. I'm very, very excited to watch it tomorrow. And it's prime time. So it's going to be an awesome game. It's good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's 100% is going to be a great game. I'm excited as well. For me, one of the things I've mentioned is that these games against Latin American teams and those types of those fan groups, for me, the environment is always great. Like you go to, like that one in Peru was great. San Miguelito was a little different than the one in Peru, but still good. I'm excited to see this one against Olimpia. You said they're a really good team. I'm looking at it right now, 4 wins and 1 loss so far in 5 games. So they're doing really good. They're actually at the top of the table right now.
I think they won it last year. I think they won the league last year.
They won the
I'm like 90% confident that
they won. Yeah, they're really good. So they're going to be playing against Olimpia at 8 p.m. But one of the things I want us all to realize is that let it not be lost in all this mess of free agency and preseason. We're yet to see a back line of 5. Have we that is amazing. And I'm so happy. I was the biggest critic of that. I hated it every time I saw that. So I think that's a good thing. I don't know how you felt about that back line, but I hated it.
I thought it a lot of times it didn't work. But then sometimes maybe we were able to pull it off.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like we're going to be going to a back 5 anytime soon. Mascherano is sticking with the game plan, which I love. I love that.
That's
love
great. Yeah, 100%. And one of the things, too, we've seen now with Mascherano, and I want to see if he does that going against Olimpia again, is that he is actually using Busquets and Yannick Bright, he's used them at the same time. And I know this team under Tata Martino did not do that at all. In fact, Tata Martino didn't want to do that so bad that he actually put Busquets in the defense so that he could play Yannick Bright. That's how bad he didn't want them both in the midfield. That's crazy.
I didn't understand that. I never understood that at all. But it's so crazy. I don't even know what to say about that because like
So Mascherano is he's got the fortitude to put them where I think they belong, those two guys. I think Bright is the one that you can be sure that is going to take care of the midfield defensively. Busquets, it allows him to kind of free up a bit and be able to orchestrate. That's something that we missed when he was injured in the playoffs. We completely saw the team get dismantled in the midfield where it came to creation, especially with Messi playing up front. So I kind of want to see that the continuity of that strategy going in against Olympia. And then I'd like for them to come out, even though it's not important, with a win. I want them to come out with an unbeaten streak in this preseason and ended out against Orlando, our biggest rivals in Tampa with a huge audience, and just have the perfect preseason. Everybody healthy, all wins, players getting the minutes they need, and this team really forming. I'm happy so far. I don't know how you feel so far about this preseason, but I'm happy. I think it's a much better preseason than it was last season.
I was going to say, did you watch last season? Did you watch last season's preseason? I mean, it was awful. I feel like we were getting embarrassed and everybody was
crazy. It was more about a show. Like this looks more like a preseason of team building and a preseason of getting the team ready for what is going to be a really jam-packed season with MLS, with Leagues Cup, with Mundial de Clubes, with CONCACAF Champions. This really feels like a professional preseason. Last preseason felt like Barnum and Bailey, circus on wheels, take them everywhere, show them off. Hey, look at Messi, touch Suarez. Like that's what it felt like last preseason. So to me, breath of fresh air. And I was a critic of Mascherano. I'm still not 100% sold. I remember the first episode we did.
I remember it.
But give props and flowers to when it's due, and he's handled this preseason very well so far, which makes me very optimistic of what the season is going to look like. I'm definitely excited for tomorrow's game. Let's see. I guess that I want to kind of end this, and let's see if anybody has any questions or anything like that. As we're live right now, you guys that are on YouTube or on X, if you guys want, shoot any questions over. One of the things that I guess, and we'll wait to see if there are any questions. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to talk about, but there was something I really thought was funny, and I think we need to bring this up. So I'm gonna bring this up right now. Let's see if I can find this really quick here. Hold on. Okay, here we go.
I'm excited.
I'm gonna bring this up. I think this is important. This might be the most important thing that we may talk okay. about tonight. So let's just bring this up. Let's see. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. Where is this at? Hold on. I wasn't able to share the screen properly. Yeah. There we go. This may be the most important thing we talk about tonight. I mean, as if this kid didn't have enough pressure being Messi's kid. I mean, poor Thiago has a social media post made about him, about a made-up game that never existed. First of all, never existed. Yeah. And say that he scored 11 out of 12 goals against Atlanta United in the U13 MLS Cup game. And everybody rode with this post. Yahoo Sports picked it up. Everybody picked it up. That is insane by some made up social media handle. And I just felt so bad for this kid. Poor guy, what is going on? Poor Thiago, man.
Poor Thiago. Who even comes up with this? Who sits there on their computer, their laptop, and says, you know what we need right now? We need a headline for Thiago Messi. What should it be? Oh, he scored 11 goals against Atlanta United. I'm like, what?
Dude, yeah, that was crazy. And I was going nuts because I was like, okay, if this happened, It's pretty wild. And I'm going in and I'm going like MLSCupU13.com. Like I'm just checking everything out. I cannot find anything about this game. And at the end of the day, it ended up being false. So I think that it's important that we get this out there. There's nothing more important right now in the news than poor Thiago being falsely presented as an 11 goal scoring machine. The kid is good. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some highlights, but let's not put so much pressure on the kid. So young. Poor kid.
11 goals. Unbelievable. I don't know. I didn't believe it for a second. I'm like, there's no way he scored. Like, do you know how hard it is to score 11 goals, even at the U13 level? You know how hard that is?
I mean, no, I was playing U13 and two goals was in just a. I felt like I was meant to go to the World Cup at scoring two goals. Like, no, I cannot imagine 11. But from my side, I think we pretty much covered a lot of really good topics. A lot of good things. Hopefully, you guys are ready for Inter Miami's game tomorrow against Olimpia at 8 p.m. It's going to be important. 8 p.m. EST time. Before we go, anything you wanted to talk about, Matt?
No, I mean, I do see. I see Cynical Tube in the chat saying, "Hopefully, the stream doesn't explode again." I don't know. Like when you watched that the last game, it like went down two or three times. I really hope that doesn't happen again.
Dude, there was like I was so annoyed. What was like four or five different links? It was awful.
Oh yes. Oh my god. It was a mess. I know that the people back there in the communications department at Inter Miami, they were going crazy. They were yelling. They were.
I was also envisioning that too. Like I'm like you. I was thinking what the background looked like.
No, because listen, I do that for a living. Yeah. I know exactly what they were going through. I know they were panicking. There was wires everywhere. Everybody was checking the internet connect. I know exactly what was going on.
It wasn't like a switchboard, right? Where they're like plugging, like putting.
No, literally, it's like, oh, is this plugged in? Is that plugged in? Turn on the router. Turn on the backup. Dude, yeah. Like, it's so funny. It was hilarious. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But no, I think we covered everything. This was an awesome weekend or weekly update for Inter Miami. And no, I appreciate you for having me and talking all about it. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, definitely a lot of fun. We love chopping it up with you and just talking Inter Miami. Anytime we can get together amongst Inter Miami fans, contributors, and people that just talk about the team, I think it's a great time. And obviously a great time with the fans and those of you that listen to us. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in and for watching this episode. If you guys are just getting in right now and maybe didn't get a chance to watch it, we're going to go ahead and post it on Five Reasons Football. That's where we're going to post the recording. So you can find that again at Five Reasons Football. You can see it right there on the banner. Make sure you like this video. The more you like it, the more people get to see it and interact with it. And make sure you subscribe. That way you guys get notifications as soon as a new video comes out. And again, Messi and Co., we tweet all of the games on there. We talk about it, commentary. And we also will send you guys content when we're at the games, at the press box, and getting there. So thanks again, Matt, for being on. It was a pleasure. Had a lot of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. And for Matt and I and Messi and Co. and Ashley that is not here, we'll be here next week. This is the Inter Miami. And I actually put post-game recap by accident, but even though it kind of was a post-game recap with Sammy Lito, this is the weekend update show, and y'all have a great day.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.